Radio Land, what a day. What a glorious day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good morning to 91.1 Highsville, Glasgow, 91.5 Litchfield, Hardinsburg, and 98.3 Owensboro, Kentucky. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Well, we've got the Tuesday crew in the house. It's been a while. Feels like it's been a little while.
It has been. We were off for New Year's. And
it's good to have everybody. We'll start with you, Miss Karen. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm not real organized this morning for some reason. I'm like pulling my mic and putting my ears on, and I'm like, what am I thinking here? It's been too long.
Just got to get back in the groove.
Yeah,
just got to get back in the groove.
Forgot how to do it all.
Yeah. It's just like riding a bike. It'll come back in three
seconds.
Yeah,
exactly.
It will.
Exactly.
Yeah. Miss Hannah, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm still full of gratitude and excited to be here. But our conversations reminded me, I keep seeing people share these posts that are like, after these 2 weeks off, because a lot of people, I guess, you know, took their vacations and everything, and they said, I kind of forgot what I was supposed to be doing at work. They're like, I kind of forgot, like, what do I do? I've just been sitting and relaxing too long. So I don't feel that way necessarily, but I think that's funny.
Well, I'm sitting here on the radio. My mic's clear across the table. I'm like, oh.
What is it? It's like a holiday haze.
You pulled it in. Don't worry. And Miss Crystal, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm glad to be back. I'm blessed and highly favored.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Good. If you want to engage with this morning's broadcast, you want to interact with us, we'd love that. When the family chimes in, it's like every morning could be like this huge family Bible study that we do together. Amen. But 270-230-6337, that's the number that you can engage with. Again, 270-230-6337 is that number. Also, make sure it's on your calendar. It's just right around the corner, just a couple weeks away, January 21st and 22nd. It's going to be two incredible back-to-back nights with Brother Lance. We're expecting the Spirit of God just to pour out and equip his body, empower his body. And we are prayerful for those two nights coming up. Again, January 21st and 22nd.
Only one problem, we can't go to the Thursday night.
Well... If you sneak up to the balcony, nobody's going to notice. But it is, it's really, we're really excited for it. That Thursday night is a men's gathering and equipping for men. And I really just pray just a great impartation to men that night. Just a great impartation to men that night. And an empowerment and equipping. And so that God would give us grace and mercy and strength and wisdom and guidance to do what he has called us to do. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Good morning to little Archie and Miss Sierra. And so she said, Archie and I are listening this morning. Jeez. I love Archie's little hair. Man, he just,
he's got the good hair.
Is the man.
I like Archie's little name.
Yeah.
Todd's listening too. He just texted a few minutes ago and said, I'm listening.
Good morning, Mr. Todd. We struggled forever with that bass Sunday morning. It was like that amp just would just...
Oh, really?
The amp would go from nothing to...
And it was zero like, to 100.
It was. It was like... And then, so we finally just fixed that. Amen. Miss Elizabeth says, good morning. Good morning to you, Miss Elizabeth.
Good morning, Miss Elizabeth.
Good morning.
And so...
Archie's grandma.
Yep. We got the family in there this morning. I got to hold a little one Sunday afternoon. And a little baby, and I've never seen hair on a baby like that one before. I was just sitting there holding him, and it's like, this little one needs
that
to be
amazing.
He needs to be in like a model. Like, get this little boy in some commercials or something.
Well, you've
like
seen
this.
A lot of babies with a lot of hair, but not the coloring of his hair. It's usually it's black.
Yeah,
you know,
dark,
maybe blonde. But I've just his. I don't know what that color is, but it is gorgeous. I mean, I think people would pay money to have that color.
I'm not trying to speak this up, but he's like, it's like a little boy band baby,
like Christian boy band,
Christian
baby.
Boy band. But it honestly is. It's like he's in this boy band, like. He come out a model.
It's like it's not blonde, it's not brown, it's a, I don't know.
Like a golden or something.
Silvery
like
gold right, or something color that, we don't know.
Yeah.
He's anointed.
Todd, I don't know if I don't know if I'm supposed to read that over the air or not. He said, Thursday, I guess, no women, testosterone, men's only.
Well, Sorry. Okay, we will not.
But no, it is. It's going to be a great night.
We'll keep our estrogen away.
Yes, we will keep it away.
Hey, I think women have testosterone too.
Yeah, they do.
We do.
I'm not a scientist, but don't they?
We don't have enough to come to the meeting, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Just got a little amount.
We have a reader that we're going to have at the door. It's like a scanner.
Yeah. So weird. I went to a holistic doctor yesterday, and he does some things, and it's like, okay. I
mean, hold on. Is this like your chiropractic? He didn't do that, did he?
No.
Did he throw you against the wall? Did he hit you?
But, you know, I mentioned that to him, and he said that is one of his favorite positions. I was like, oh, my God, for them to crack his back. I was like, well,
standing
if you don't know, yeah. But he is a chiropractor. No, it's here locally. He's a chiropractor and here locally, and he does holistic stuff, too. And I don't want to mention names, but anyway. And he uses these, I told Todd, he uses these little vials. And they look like, you know, in your car when you have to a fuse that went out, at least the old cars. You know those little
plug-in things.
That's what it looks like. And he just kind of waves it over your body. I don't know if it was witchcraft or no. I'm just kidding. It was not. And so he told me some things that I have going on. I have mold in my body.
Yeah.
He detected mold, and I was like, "Where does that come from?" He said, "It could come from anywhere. You know, probably that barn. That's what it is. Being out there in that barn."
I heard that, Todd. I heard that. Well, it is good to be with everybody. We have a great morning ahead of us. We always have incredible conversations and dialogue on Tuesday morning, so I'm excited to see what the Lord has in store for us today. And today's weather is going to be partly cloudy with a high of 61 and a low of 39. It's going to be all the way up to, if I'm not mistaken, almost 70 by Friday.
I saw it one day. Was like 69 or whatever.
Yeah, and then it's going to crash and crash hard.
Oh,
and
man.
And then it's going to get back up to nice next week. So it's going to be.
I don't care if it gets cold. I just don't want it to snow.
It's going
to
drop like 45 degrees over the weekend. And then I do think there is possibilities for some really strong storms coming in Friday afternoon.
Right.
I knew it was going to rain.
Yeah.
That's
all I saw. 3 days, I think.
So just a heads up on the weather. We are we did Proverbs of the Day for a while, for like almost a couple months, I guess it was. And so. Coming in a new year, one of the things that we're doing with our men's group is Bible memorization. So it's one verse a week. It's everybody can memorize one verse.
Especially if you have a week to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Like we make our second graders memorize verses in the school. Mm-hmm. So if a second grader can do it, anybody can do it. Amen.
And if you have a hard time, this is what we do. We take the scripture and we tell them, take this section.
Learn that
section. Say it over and over. Then take the next section. Say it over and over. Then take the next section. Yeah. And that's the way we work with them as far as dividing it up, and then we make them put it all together, and it happens.
I know little Jackson, he was quoting scripture about 4 or 5 years old, from where he was learning in preschool and stuff like that. He was quoting it. So I know it is possible for anybody to do and get it in your heart. It's not about just like another badge of honor. Got another one. It's getting in your heart.
Yes.
I was laughing so hard. Like Jackson, most people don't know this, but Jackson is like a little theologian. He really knows his word well. We were at a church over Christmas Eve. I don't know if I shared this on the radio or at church, but I'm sharing it because it was so funny. Because it's like my humor. I was like, I love this kid. Like, this is my kid right here. This is my kid. This woman was talking and at a Christmas Eve service that we were at my sister's church, and she had a lot of really good things to say. I was enjoying it, but she messed up, and I've done this too. So it's like, but she had said Jesus came and lived. She meant to say sinless life, but she accidentally said sinful life, and Jackson just burst out laughing. like in this church, he's like, Dad, did you hear that? And I was like, that's my son. He's like, that's not right, but that was so funny. So I love that kid. But we are doing, and this is one that I just like, you know what, we should all put this in memory so we can bless people with it. Number 6, 24 through 26.
That's a good one.
And it's New King James Version that we're learning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
In my church back home, that was something we said every time we gathered. It was one of the confession scriptures that we had up on the board.
You know what? I've actually thought about that at the end of service, because I never know how to end a service. Yeah. Like, you know, yeah. I'm thinking.
That's a good one there.
We should just.
Because you're blessing. You
yeah.
know.
Well, it's definitely, I mean, even today, the Jewish people say this, you uh-huh. know.
Yeah.
I know I've heard Jonathan Cahn say oh, this yeah. in well,
they say
Congress.
It, they say it before the broadcast.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Like a little benediction right, or something yeah. like at the end. Yeah.
Every time before we come home.
And it was something to do with the hand. Have you ever heard that, Pastor Aaron, where you, the hand, it's not like. I know it's a Spock move. I'm holding.
That's what I was
gonna
say.
Dividing,
she's like Star Trek.
I'm, really? I'm dividing like... my hands up, but it's actually, if you look it up, it's a type of blessing, and that's what the way yeah. they would hold their hands. And so my dad jokingly would go, you know,
yeah.
not jokingly. I guess he thought he was, you know, Spock or something. I don't know.
I just love that you said that, because that when I've been learning this verse, mm-hmm. that's something that's been in my heart. Just
yeah.
like, I think almost like it would be cool just to. Mm-hmm. It's like a blessing to yeah. go out.
It is.
And,
right.
and I tell you what, I can still remember it today because we said it over and over and
yeah.
over.
Yeah.
I think I'd quote the whole thing.
I know Brother Norman Cave used to say it before
yeah.
we
right.
we mm-hmm. would leave. You remember that? Mm-hmm. And so it's just really, ever since I've been learning that verse, it was like, man, that would be an incredible one.
That's a good one.
I know they say it, and then they have their children at least come underneath their prayer. Shawl,
yeah. right? Yeah.
They're mm-hmm. tallit or whatever, mm-hmm. and yeah. they say it while they're underneath that.
Because mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I think Spock's background was something. But anyway, we don't need to go into Spock. Leonard Nimoy, whatever.
He got it from the people of God. I mean,
I didn't
know
Crystal was such a Trekkie.
I didn't either.
She's not. I promise you. I may have watched the old ones, but I've never watched.
So what you and Todd do in the evening? Just turn on some Trekkie
yeah,
here.
We got all the episodes. No, we do not.
The only one I remember is Dr. Kirk.
Captain Kirk.
She has yeah. the shirt. She has the shirt.
Something on the wing.
Her and Todd put on the shirt in the evenings just watch it.
Now maybe Micah, our son, does, but not we. Not us.
Our quote of the day is one by Tim Keller. The only person who dares to wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is a child. We have that kind of access.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's good.
Love that from mm-hmm. Tim Keller.
Todd is texting and saying, Leonard Nimoy is Jewish, and Bethel did it with Brother Tishner.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thanks, Todd. Yeah. It's just the Spock sign.
Hallelujah.
Fun fact of the day.
Well, we are in Acts 5, verse 17 this morning is where we're starting at. Acts 5, verse 17. And we just finished up really the Ananias and Sapphira story. Because for me, the Ananias and Sapphira story doesn't end just when they get drug off from their line to the Holy Spirit. I think what it produces is where it ends, all the way to 16, where great revival broke out in the city from the great fear of the Lord that fell upon the body. And let me just say, this is while you're turning over to Acts 5, verse 17, I just want to say this. I've been going through Matthew, and I have forgot just how good Matthew 13 is. Matthew chapter 13 with mm-hmm. all the parables. Like, I was reading that again recently, and I'm like, man, I'm just gonna I could live in that chapter for about a month, I think. And
I'm trying to get there with you. I got
you. Gosh, it's just so good. Yeah. Like, it's not saying I've never read it or like I forgot it or anything, but like that when I just dove into
it
again.
To remind yourself, yeah.
Oh my goodness, it was so good. And talking about the seed and the parables and just all the parables he spoke, but all the way back to Isaiah 6, 9 through 10. And I'm like, this is so relevant to today. And even what, you know, Isaiah talked about seeing and not seeing and seeing but not perceiving and all these things, and Isaiah 6, 9 through 10. It is so good. If you have an opportunity today, just go and read mm-hmm. Matthew 13 with a highlighter or a coloring pencil to mark your Bible up, because you're mm-hmm. going to. And it is really good. Like, maybe I hadn't forgot how good it was. Maybe it's just really spoke to me recently. Mm-hmm. And all the parables, because we've talked about them, we've discussed them, but it's just how relevant they are to today. And Miss Karen and Miss Crystal and Hannah, all you all have taught to people, and you all have taught, and sometimes you're like, man, it seems like people get it for a day or two and then they lose it.
Mm.
Well, Matthew 13 discussed that. Or sometimes you're like, why does that person in that corner totally get it? And they're just like, yeah. And this person over in this corner is just like, ah, you know. And I think Matthew 13 is just, if you are a teacher or a preacher, you should go read Matthew 13. I think it encourages you. Mm-hmm. It encouraged me.
I was talking to Jenny the other day, and You know, I can remember times when I was teaching and I would ask the Lord afterwards, Lord, am I listening to anything I say?
Oh, I know.
Have I heard anything that I have said?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Just take 20 minutes today sometime. Maybe it's on your lunch break while you're eating lunch or something like that. But just read Matthew 13.
Mm-hmm.
It is so good. Matthew 12, 13, and 14. All the whole section there is so good. So, Acts chapter 5, verse 17, but the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, mm-hmm. for they were very sad, you see, and filled with jealousy, they mm-hmm. arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. I think going all the way back to Jesus, like, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, these religious rulers, these teachers of the day, they still hadn't learned.
Right.
Like, they were jealous of Jesus. They were envious, and you could go all the way back when Jesus cleansed the temple, and they were like, under whose authority did you do this?
Right.
They were like, this isn't our authority. Mm-hmm. And you know that they were jealous of the fact that Jesus had control over the weather, and Jesus could speak to demons, and they fled. The cancer dried up, and the issues of blood, all these things that Jesus was able to do, they weren't able to do. And how offended were they, how jealous were they? And they even knew that he was doing the works of God. Nicodemus said it, like, we know that you're doing the works of God. We know we can't do them. And there's a problem here.
Yeah.
And yet they still not learned. Mm-hmm. Like, cause,
I mean, it's amazing. And I mean, even it makes me think about over there in Revelation where all this stuff was going on. And then it would say, and they repented not. I'm like, how can, you know, and again, if these people had lined themselves up, they'd have been in a totally different place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just two chapters ago, in chapter 3, I think it was, Peter and John had healed the man that was lame from mm-hmm. birth. And they're like, let's just put them in prison. Let's bind them up. Mm-hmm. Let's beat them, and they're going to stop speaking. Well, they learned before binding them up didn't work very well. And then in chapter 5, let's bind them up. Let's put them in prison again, because mm-hmm. that worked so well last time.
Uh-huh. But it's their only answer.
It's their only answer, because religion don't have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Religion's only answer is bondage
mm-hmm. yeah.
and control. And it's not working. But during the night, an angel of the Lord. I love that.
I do
an
too.
Angel
I
of the
too.
Lord. And if you just like, every time you're reading through the New Testament, just put a check mark every time an angel of the Lord or an angel did something. And we can go to Hebrews chapter 1 and just reminds us, angels are there to minister the heirs of salvation. Who's the heirs of salvation? Us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worshiping angels, mm-hmm. but you better believe angels are involved in everyday life.
Right.
Thank God they are.
Yeah. And I don't think we're like controlling angels. Like, you go over there, Michael, or if you want to speak to Michael or Gabriel, if you got enough guts for that, you try it.
Right.
But I believe the Lord is sending his angels. He mm-hmm. watches over. Just like angels came and ministered to Jesus in the garden. Angels ministered to Jesus in the desert. Angels were so pivotal whenever Mary and Joseph were being instructed on what to do. An angel would appear in their dreams. Like, an angel actually spoke to them in their dream.
Right.
And here we see where an angel of the Lord was sent to get them out of the prison. Mm-hmm. So anybody want to say, y'all just interrupt.
No.
This read through the New Testament that I'm in right now, the Lord's highlighted that a lot to me, the importance and the use of angels. Now, Colossians warns us not to be worshiping angels. And if an angel preaches another gospel other than the gospel of Jesus, that let him be accursed is what Galatians tells us. But here, an angel of the Lord is sent
by night
to open the door.
And, you know, I think, too, that the more, you know, it tells you something right there. And, again, the word hearken keeps coming into my thinking. The word, and they hearken unto his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I don't think that we can exclude this from our own life today.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely part of our life today.
Yeah.
But there's this place, it's a call. When I'm sitting here looking at it right now, it's a call to all of these things, to be in that place, your life being in that place with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That you're about his business, that you're doing what he's called you to do, that you're following where he leads, and he'll provide. It's that place where we've got to let him do what he said he would do for us.
Mm-hmm.
He said he would take care of us. He said he would protect us. He said he would open doors. And it just makes me think of that, is that we make everything so complicated. Well, I do. I make everything real complicated in my life with the Lord. And most of the time it's because I'm in the way.
Yeah.
Well,
And I think it does speak to, you know, trusting him.
Right.
And realizing that he's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. And I'm going through, like, even right now, I'm just looking through my mind, and that's very small and finite, so it's a closed door. but it's like all the time angels were used in the Bible. I'm thinking of all the Old Testament examples of an angel. And, yeah, I understand some of them are angel of the Lord or, you know, talking about Christophany, but there was a lot of times just angels were used.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking even Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels were the ones went to send the message. And, I believe most likely a Christophany with the angel Lord that Christ himself set with Abraham under the tree as the two other angels went, but there was angels with them.
Mm-hmm.
All throughout the Old Testament, we see angels being used.
Right.
In the New Testament, we see angels being used. Even after the New Testament church and the Holy Spirit was poured out, you still see angels being used. And if you want to talk more about it, go to Hebrews. Talks about it quite a bit, especially in Hebrews chapter 1, talks about angels quite a bit. I'm not saying we're worshiping them, but never underestimate the importance that they do bring deliverance at time. They do bring, and they minister healing to us as
saints.
And
they minister, minister unto the people on the earth.
Yeah, they ministered unto Jesus in the wilderness after his fast and after he had come up against the devil and the devil tempted him. He won, but the angels were coming to minister to him. In the garden, I believe when he was sweating drops of blood, the Lord sent angels to minister to him. And I think that was a strengthening. That was, I don't know if they've really, like, he brought healing or anything, but it was a strengthening. It was ministering unto his physical body in the garden. And you know, I think it is very much permissible to say, you know, Lord, would you send angels to minister to us? Would you send angels encamped about us? Whenever the servant of Elijah or Elisha, which one was it? I think it was Elijah. And he, you know, this servant of Elijah was like, there's more against us. And then Elijah's like, hey, open my servant's eyes here a little bit. And the Lord opened his eyes and he saw the angels and the army of the Lord that was encamped about them. And he said, nope, there's more of us, guys.
That's right.
There's more of us. So, Hannah, was you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say, you know, to be appreciative of the God of heavenly hosts, like the God of angel armies.
That's right.
Because it should point us back to him because it's a gift to us. It's a sign of his victory, that he's more powerful than anybody else. So I think if we keep it in that perspective of, like, it's pointing back to his strength, that he has more heavenly hosts, more angel armies than we could ever imagine, it kind of just reminds us that, like, why would we be afraid? And often when they showed up, they would always say, don't be afraid, which they're saying that because we're mortals and they're not, and they look a lot different than us. But I think it was more than just saying, don't be afraid of me. I think a lot of times they were also sent to say, they were sent to minister, like, physical healing, but also, like, emotional the responses to emotions like fear and things like that.
Yeah. And I know, how much does the church talk about demons? And we should. Like, they're very real. Seducing spirits, manipulating spirits, spirit of fear, all these kind of things, the demonic entities that want to drag us in, to tempt us, to taunt us, to oppress us, to suppress us. But yet, if we believe Revelation is talking about the great dragon's tail that swept one-third of the stars with him down, if it was one-third of the angels that fell, that means there's two-thirds that didn't. So that means there's double the angels than there are the demons. And yet we talk more about demons than we do angels. And yet the Bible speaks probably more of angels than it does demons.
Right.
And yet you never really hear, and when the church so often does talk about it, then we get into, like, this angel worship, we're going to pray to angels or anything like that. I don't think we ever pray to angels, but there has been plenty of times where conversations have happened with angels, or angels spoke in dreams. Like, this read-through, that it really did, the Holy Spirit kind of illuminated that to me, just how much the Lord used angels within dreams. And so just, I don't know, like, it's really, and this verse right here even speaks to it again, like, just the importance and what angels are doing in our life, and we should never underestimate that.
Right.
I know it's the Lord protecting us, like when we pray for protection, but I really do believe that when we're praying protection over somebody, or that he sends out angels. Like, angels are doing, how many prayers are angels doing the work to be the answer to the, like, how many times are angels the answer to our prayers?
Right.
And doesn't mean we worship him, but I think we should be thankful for him.
Because it says, I think you already quoted it, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him,
right,
and delivers them. It's that part, those who fear him, those who respect who they are. Again, no exaltation to them, but realizing. And it makes you wonder why in this season or the generation that we're in now, we don't acknowledge them as much. And it makes you, do we reverence them? Do we acknowledge when they're around? Of course, we don't see them as much, but maybe that's because we don't really believe they're there.
Right.
You know, do we believe they're there? Do we fear them? Do we respect them? Are we in awe of them? You know, my father said that he saw one time. It was, and he would say it to the day of his death, that he's going down the highway and he was praying that actual scripture, that Lord, let the angels, and he said the Lord let him see there was one on the corner of his car, mm-hmm, on his hood, just on the corner. He said it was huge. And then after a little while, it just left. So I think it let him see that there are angels, you know, that are still in the earth. That how many times, you know, you talk about, I always go back to that. When I heard the stories of 9/11, about how many people said, I was going to get coffee and I changed my mind, or I went to get coffee and it kept me from, and I was late.
Right.
You know, all those circumstances, and you hear these stories of protection or direction where things, you know, didn't destroy them.
Now, this happened a long time ago. It was when I was a teenager. But a bunch of us from the church had gone to a concert or something, you know, and we were on our way back and one of the vehicles broke down. And we're sitting there on the side of the interstate, and this car, and it was kind of like your eyes were drawn to this car on the other side going off, and it stopped. And this man come across there, and he helped us get our car started and everything, and we asked him to go to a restaurant with us to eat, and he did. And then we got ready to leave, and we wanted to take a picture, and because we were all laughing, you know, oh, you're such an angel,
yeah,
you know. And we wanted to take a picture with him, so we gathered around him. They took a picture, and that was back in the days when pictures weren't instant. You know,
yeah,
you had
to
send them off,
and
they came back.
Yeah,
and the picture came back, and there we were, and where he was standing, he wasn't there.
Oh, wow.
It was this bright light in the middle of all of us surrounded, and It was just, you know, it was one of those, and we thought he was an angel. He had come to save us. He had come to take care of us.
Yeah.
And I remember it to this day, is this place, seeing that picture, and that man was not in there.
Yeah, wow.
I was watching a movie. Of a true story. It was a young man named Hoovy. I think it's Hoovy. And it was about a young kid who was a basketball player, and he started having seizures, and I think he ended up with a brain tumor. I think that he had a brain cancer, I think it was, but I can't remember. I don't remember that part of the movie, like what it was, but I remember he was in a seizure, and he was in a really bad state, like possibly even dying, and the father was trying to get him to the hospital, and it was snowy outside. And I'm not going to ruin the movie for you, but this part was so awesome. And this, again, true story. And he gets stuck in the snow. He runs off the side of the road, gets stuck in the snow. He can't. And, like, this was back in the day when it would have been hard to get there. It wasn't like yesterday. And I don't even know if he had cell phones yet or something like that. But I remember all of a sudden these three guys come out of the field, and they push him out. And then he turns around and thinks them, and they're gone.
Right. Mm.
And that was part of the that he knows, because it was a Christian movie, so it talked a lot about faith, a lot about prayer, perseverance, talking about endurance in the midst of suffering. It was a great movie, but that part always stuck with me, and I was just like, I remember watching the movie going, yeah! so pumped. But I do think Hollywood, along with, I think, seducing spirits and deceiving spirits, have done a good job of making angels kind of like the Cupid thinking, or just guardian angels and this cute little, you know, and I'm not against precious moments at all, but you know, it's like that precious moments, little cute little boy angel that's just kind of walking around with this, or like that movie Angels in the Outfield. They're here helping us play. I mean, like it wasn't, it's just,
you never know. Don't ruin the movie.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, I get it. Like, but I think it's done a good job of almost making them, the enemy's done a good job in perceiving that they're just these cute little But angels are not these cute little beings or this cute warriors. Little boy. They are warriors. Yeah. They are, for I think if we saw real angels, and I feel like I have, they are more terrifying than they are cute, honestly. And I could see why when angels showed up to them, great fear kind of fell upon them. Because I will say I've seen angels. Yeah. And when I have seen angels, I can't always say they brought like great comfort. They actually brought almost great fear.
Well,
like
to fear, respect, or all. You know, it doesn't mean be afraid, but I guess it kind of does in a way. Because, but what they're saying, I think that word translated fear would be
honor,
respect, honor, all. But if you see a huge person or a huge angel, I mean, how
we see that people's in scripture, their natural response was fear, and they didn't get in trouble for that.
No,
they were
right.
just encouraged,
exactly.
like, you know.
Well, you know,
afraid.
Even like in that verse 19, I mean, if you go over to Acts 12, it speaks of kind of the same scenario here. So it wasn't like this was a one-time shot.
No.
Yeah.
Acts 16, too.
I had a question just come in, and it was actually I was about to ask about the scripture. So their question is, does entertaining angels unaware include fallen angels? But my question was going to be, like, whenever Miss Karen's situation where there was that person and then they believed it to be an angel, would that fit, would that scripture speak into that, the entertaining angels anywhere unaware?
I would say so, yeah. Like, I think we have probably communicated or been around angels. Now, you can get into some theological questions and unpacking there of what some people would call shape-shifting. I know Dr. Grady McMurtry really believes in shape-shifting. Like, they can shift their shape, I guess, to...
Like, if they appear to us as a human-like form, that might not be actually what they look like in the spirit.
I don't think that is what they look like in the spirit. I think that... and that does bring up some questions and then get into Genesis and Nephilim and all these kind of things that... We just don't have time at this point to talk about. But I do think we have probably entertained angels unaware. And I would probably say that there has been demonic things that we have been around too that we was not aware of,
per se. You brought up Sodom and Gomorrah earlier. And I do think back to that story because it does seem like in that story, they were in some sort of form that was recognizable to the people.
Yeah. And of course that... We have talked about the Nephilim and the sons of God and the sons of, I mean, the daughters of men. We've talked about that quite extensively. And I realize that, you know, my view on that scripture has changed about three times already. As I study more and more, I go back and forth. I will still say to this day, this is me, and we can still have complete fellowship, and we both love the Word of God and going with it. I don't see the sons of God as actual demons mating with women. I know I'm in a small camp there. It's not because I'm like trying to take it away. I believe the Nephilim were already there prior to when sons of God came into daughters of men, because it said the men of renown, these giants were in the land already. So I have a lot of views of why I believe it was the sons of Israel and then the daughters of pagan tribes. They mated, and then perversion entered the camp. So I have a lot of views on this. I'm very much in a camp that's not big, but it's I feel like that's where I'm hanging my hat now. But that doesn't mean that I don't believe that angels can take upon, because like you said, Sodom and Gomorrah, they surely was. Somehow, and I don't understand the fullness of this. This is why we've got to admit that some things about God and the supernatural are mysteries. Like, they are, we're just going to have to say yes and amen. Like, we don't, can't explain it. Like, I don't know how Jesus took the form and was in the fire with the three Hebrew boys. I don't understand it fully. I don't understand Christophanies fully. I don't understand all of this. I can just say,
okay.
I affirm it and say, I believe it.
Right.
Like, just because
right.
I don't understand everything doesn't mean I don't believe it and say yes and amen to it.
That's right.
If you're looking for the scripture of angels unaware, it's Hebrews 13, 1 and, well, it's 2, but one says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware.
Yeah.
So that's
and
what
is that
talking
about hospitality in that verse? Like in the
verses
before?
I would think so, because it says, let brotherly love continue.
Continue.
Do not be not forgetful to entertain strangers.
That was actually going to be my next question was, like, I've been in a situation where someone needed, like, they were in need. And I think about that scripture with like people who are in need. Like if somebody, like almost as a test, like, I don't know. I think about that verse of entertaining and taking care of people. It's not just hospitality. It's not always going to look like people showing up at your door, because right. people aren't always going to show up at your door.
Yeah.
You know, when we go to the grocery or we go here or go there and we mm-hmm. come in contact with somebody, we don't, like that scripture reminds me, like, we don't know whether mm-hmm. it's really somebody or maybe we are entertaining angels yeah. when we give to somebody in need.
Well, you know, you was talking about the three men that appeared out of the field. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were on their way to the hospital or whatever, and I mean, it wasn't like a entertainment, you know, a come on in and have something to eat. You know, they were in trouble.
Yeah. yeah. And I would say that even has a broader understanding, too. I do think it's we have entertained angels unaware. For even Sodom and Gomorrah entertained angels unaware. They had perversion within their heart, but they had angels in their midst, and they didn't even recognize it.
Right.
But I do think that it's a messenger. We have to be careful, because we could be entertaining somebody God sent.
Yeah.
We could be entertaining a messenger. And I think back to the story of, the account of when Jesus sent his 70 into the city, and they were like, go into there and you give, if they receive you, let your peace remain. If they don't receive you, withdraw your peace and go on. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to be even cautious of that we're not rejecting somebody that God has sent to us.
Right.
And so I think there's a broad spectrum yeah. of that word angel there. I'm not taking away the supernatural angel, but I do think it could even mean we could entertain a messenger unaware.
Right,
and that
right.
is the truest sense of angel is messenger. It's yeah. a messenger. It's somebody on mission from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think there's a broader spectrum to that. But you know, and I think that we are, and going back to your question of even entertaining fallen angels unaware, you know, I think of times like Joseph Smith, who was mm-hmm. proclaiming to be a Christian, entertained mm-hmm. this spirit that came, and then this spirit led them. That's, I guess he didn't read Galatians very well. If any other, even an angel preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. But he ended up writing what? The Book of Mormonism,
right.
the mm-hmm. he wrote his own canon. Like this angel led him into great deception. You can go even more relevant time with Alice Bailey and the 10-point plan, who was visited by this thing called the Tibetan spirit, which Tibetan means angel of light. But she was entertaining a fallen angel and didn't even realize it. She was deceived.
You know, the Lord was, I was having a conversation with somebody and was reminding me about how he even rebuked Peter and called Peter Satan. Like, Peter even was used by Satan mm-hmm. to speak mm-hmm. out of his own emotion. And he was reminding me how any of us are susceptible to be used by the enemy and speak whatever the enemy is speaking. So, I mean, also with that being said, these fallen angels unaware, people think that they get these bright ideas and it's just their bright idea. Mm-hmm. Like they think, oh, like, yeah. That, and then they write books or they spread those lies or, you know, they believe the lie. But how often is that the voice of the enemy or an idea that's coming from one of these fallen angels? Like mm-hmm. any of us, when we aren't taking the thought captive and weighing it, you know, comparing it with mm-hmm. scripture, we can be deceived and be, you know, entertaining the fallen angels.
Yeah.
So
it would be very easy to do. And I think one of a good plumb line is the spirit. And if you're just weirded out by that, I don't know what to tell you, because there's definitely a spiritual world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if there's a spirit you're entertaining and it wants to be exalted, you know you're not dealing with a godly spirit.
Because
one thing we do find in the New Testament and the Old Testament, like anytime people did have great fear and they wanted to worship, the angel would be like, don't you dare worship me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get up. Like, there's only one that we worship.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're very aware of what happened the last time an angel wanted to be worshipped. They're like, we ain't playing that game. We see what happened to Lucifer. We're not going there, Captain.
Jesus said, there's no one good but God. He said of the Holy Spirit, he won't come on for his own sake. He will come to remind us. And, you know, there's that place. There's only one who is worthy of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Only one.
Yeah. a true angel will point you in the direction of Christ mm-hmm. every time. Mm-hmm. If any kind of spirits point you away from the Word of God, from the worship of Christ or holiness, you're dealing with a fallen angel. Right. You're dealing with the fallen spirit at that time, and you need to flee.
And you know, it's amazing when you think about it, you know, back there in the garden when Satan came up to Eve and he said, did God really say that? Mm-hmm. You know, did this really happen? And I think that you see that same thing today. It's a reputational thing. It's a place of self-exalting, you know, and it's all of those who am I kind of thing. And I don't know, it's been the thing of mankind since the beginning of time, is that reputational self-exalting place. Mm-hmm. And it's Satan started that way, and he continues that way.
Yeah.
It's exalting something else, usually yourself, over who the one that is the only one that is worthy of worship, putting yourself above that. And that's where we come into that place of being deceived and just condemned. I mean, it's just a terrible place. Yeah. But it started with Adam and Eve, and I mean, he hasn't changed his ways since.
No. Well, I've really enjoyed that conversation on angels. I think there still is a lot to unpack. And
I did also, got a comment in about the previous conversation with Leonard guy.
Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah. Mr. Robbie, who is Jewish, said, so the hand sign that they do means Mount Moriah, Mount Opal, and Mount Zion, the three points of our hand, like the three mountains, and that is a sign that all Jews used to know. They, I guess he's saying they aren't all aware of that now. It's not as common as it was, but it was a sign to show that you are a Jew.
Oh, wow.
And he said it's a blessing for all. Back then, all Jews knew that, what it meant.
That's awesome. Thank you, sir.
Amen.
Interesting. I had no clue. I didn't even know who that
Do you
guy
know
was.
Leonard Nimoy?
Nope.
Do you know who Spock is?
I don't.
You really don't?
Really? Okay. Oh, man.
You just showed your age.
Or we did,
or
too.
We showed ours.
It's Star Trek, right?
It's the old Star Trek. Mm-hmm. It's the one back in the 60s and 70s that we all watched. As
I know Star Wars.
Yes. Well, they did a new Star Trek, too. Didn't they? Yeah.
Probably about 20 of them.
Yeah, a new episode has started.
I know it. I just never really.
I never watched it.
I
watched the old one.
Let's see here. I'm trying to make sure I get text from this and text from that. So I'm making sure that I'm getting the ones on the air that I'm supposed to. All righty. Well, where are we going today?
Well, we don't really know.
Well, Miss Karen.
But we only know, we don't.
I told Karen, I said, do you really, because usually the Lord will give me a word, and he really didn't, but I did read this devotional, and Karen, but did you started to go somewhere. Were you got something?
Well, you know, I don't know. It's just something that stuck out to me this morning, and, you know, I'm probably going to take it out of context, but, you know, I'm doing the study, reading the Bible in chronological order this year, and I'm in Job. This morning I studied the book of Job, and I mean, you don't hear people say that very often, but
I love certain parts of Job. I don't love all of Job.
Yeah, but you know, Job has always been one of those things I think that people wonder about. What's that all about? You know, but there was something that really stuck out to me this morning. I was reading in Job 13, and it was just this thing that just caught my eye. And like I said, I'm probably going to take this out of the context that it was in, but it spoke to me in a way. And it was in Job 13, verse 19. And, of course, Job's just gone through his three friends telling him all kinds of stuff and Job's response back to them. But here he says to them, he says, who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. And, you know, that just popped out at me, you know. It wasn't so much about, but it was, if I hold my tongue from God in whatever situation I find myself, good or bad, pleasant or tough. You know, regardless of where I am, if I hold my tongue and don't speak to him of it, I'll die. I will surely die. You know, that's the thing. You know, we get into places, and I mean, for me, things can be going great, and I forget to thank God. Mm-hmm. You know, things can be going tough, and I forget to ask God.
Oh, okay. I was just kind of wondering where you were going. Yeah, I got you now.
And
okay.
It's like no matter what, if I forget to thank him, if I forget to ask him, if I forget to seek him or pursue him or whatever it is, I could die. I can die in my heart.
Yeah.
It can swallow me up. Mm-hmm. And I can be so overcome and so gloriously happy in the places where my life is going good that they matter. Oh, everything's good. And I forget to thank God because mm-hmm. he's in the midst of that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It just struck me as a thing. You know, there's been so many times that I've done that things are going great and I forget to say thank you, God. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you've come in here. I've said in forever long, and you've come in here each morning that I've been here, and you said, I'm still full of gratitude. You know, the Word of God speaks so often about be thankful. Be thankful. Mm-hmm. And I forget to do that. I forget to be thankful to Him for the incredible things that He's given me.
Right.
I forget that in the time of trouble, my tongue needs to loosen up and seek Him.
Yeah.
Lord. And, you know, this is coming up, you know, there was a conversation that I had with somebody, and, you know, I'll just be straight up, you know, there are times that I struggle with anxiety, and, you know, but usually before when that anxiety has hit me, I give in to it. Mm-hmm. It takes me somewhere. Mm-hmm. But then I read this, and I thought, you know, if I would speak with my tongue to the Lord in the midst of that anxiety, and it's a hard thing to do, then I'm going to come up out of that, and that thing will pass, and it will be different the next time. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I'll bring Jeannie in here since she isn't here today, but there was a time she was telling us about that her husband was in the hospital, and a nurse said to him, they had given him some medicine, and the nurse said to them, you'll know it's working when you can taste it in your mouth. You'll know the medicine's working when you can taste it in your mouth. And then I went through something, and a nurse said almost the very same thing to me. You'll know the medicine's working when you can taste it in your mouth. And see, there's so many things. This is the answer. Mm-hmm. He is the answer. Mm-hmm. He is the answer in the good time. He is the answer in the tough time. Yeah. And he is the answer in the worst of times. Mm-hmm. But if I hold my tongue, I'm gonna reject being thankful.
Right.
Yeah.
If I hold my tongue, because he's the medicine in our mouth. To speak of him is the medicine that makes me well.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I read that this morning and it just lit up inside of me. Do not hold your tongue. Mm-hmm. And you know, it goes to that place too where Jesus says, you're going to be my testimony. Mm-hmm. You're going to be my witness. But see, that's one of the things we've got. That requires not just the things you do every day. It requires your tongue.
Right.
It requires a declaration of who he is in your life today. And the more I declare him in my life, the more he becomes in my life.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. It just, you know, it just grabbed hold of me when I read it this morning. And I know that Job was in a terrible time. But, you know, he said, if I hold my tongue, I'm going to die here. Mm-hmm. if I don't speak, and again, I don't understand the whole thing of Job, but at least he was talking about the Lord, you know, and I just think that we as people of the Lord, well, again, I'll just talk about myself because that's who I know the best, but if I would, I love to talk about him. I love to speak of him. I love to talk about the wonder of who he is. But at many times during my own time, I forget to speak to him about how marvelous he is. And I forget to speak to him in the tough times to declare, Lord, you're still as marvelous here as you are in the other times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's that place where I take what he has given me and let it heal me. I don't know. It's just
well,
a thing.
It's funny because the devotional I told you that I read this morning is Remember His Faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of goes, and they're relating it to David and how David was supposed to be anointed the future king. But of course, before that happened, he received a death sentence. He was, you know, he ran and hid in caves. He had he was in deserts, wilderness. Right. You know, just forcing him to survive things. But he goes to Psalms 42. So if y'all want to read that real quick before we go to break, and then we can come back and talk about things. Now, the first section of it, there's only 11 verses. The first section is kind of where what Karen's saying, he was holding his tongue. He was like just discouraged and he was afraid. And he says in verse 1, ESV now, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty bad when all you're doing is you're just overwhelmed. You know, even coming out of these holiday seasons, sometimes they say people get depressed from it. Maybe it didn't go as well as you thought. Maybe you didn't get the things you wanted, or maybe your family didn't gather, or you're just going through a tough time. Maybe you have all this hype of all your children being with you and your whole family's together. Then they all go home and you're sitting there, and sometimes your tears have been your food day and night. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. And so David's missing worship.
Right.
He's missing the times that he had. And he says to himself, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had, like you're saying, he had to stop holding his tongue, stop even speaking negative, stop not thanking God for where he was. And we do that. I mean, we've never been in caves or in wilderness. Maybe you have, I don't know. But
spiritually.
In deserts or in bad places. Or maybe you've been homesick. This is what's going on with David. He's saying, I remember as I pour out my soul how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession. He's worshiping. He's dancing before the Lord, and he's remembering that. And here I am now, and I'm sitting in a cave or in a desert or in a wilderness, wherever he is, hiding out. And he's getting discouraged, and he says, wait a minute, why are you cast down? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation, and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you. That's your scripture right there, Karen.
Right.
I remember you. I'm not going to hold my tongue, because if I do, I'm going to die. If David would have stayed in fear, stayed in discouragement, stayed in depression, he probably would not have heard from the Lord of when to cut Saul's robe, you know, when to do all these things, you know. I shall again praise him, my salvation. Well, I'm in the wrong spot.
Verse 7.
Yeah, I shall remember you from the land of Jordan and from Hermon, from Mount Mizar, how you say it. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. Sometimes you got to go to the deep places.
Right.
Sometimes you have to just call on the deep and say, God, deep calls to deep. I'm in a place where I don't know how to come out of this, but I'm going to keep praising. David said, I remember how I used to praise in the house of the Lord, and here I am in the wilderness. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe it's just, you know, somebody out there that we're talking to that, come on, let's just begin to call to the deep places. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls, God. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. He's saying, I'm not holding my tongue.
What a verse.
I'm not holding my tongue back. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down on my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? He goes back and tells himself again, hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. He remembered his God. He remembered his faithfulness. He knew at one time he had worshipped, and he's just longing for that. You know, he's remembering when he defeated Goliath when he says that, you know. He's remember when he was tending sheep. He's remembering that he was chosen by God for a purpose. But then the loneliness, the depression, all these things came in and clouded his perspective. And that's kind of what Job said. What was it, Job? What was the verse?
Job 13.
13.
Get back there.
What, 19? Who is there who will contend with me? For then I would be silent and die. If I don't, let's read it in your translation, King James. Who is he that will plead with me? For now if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. And so what we're saying this morning is, you know, just in the Lord good of how he does things, of just puts it together. We come in here with nothing, and then Karen has something, and the little devotion that I had just said, well, if we can't think of anything, here it is, and it's just lining up with what God is trying to tell somebody.
You know, if you look at Job 13, verse 20, after he says this about, if I hold my tongue, I will surely give up the ghost. And then in 20 he says, only do not two things unto me, then will I not hide myself from thee. Don't withdraw thy hand far from me.
Amen.
And let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer.
Amen.
You call me, Lord, and I'll answer
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Or let me speak unto you, and you answer me. You know, I mean, again, I mean, I've had to watch myself so many times, because I know that there's been so many times that I doubted whether God would answer me.
That's right.
But he says right here, he said, if I speak unto you, Lord, I know you hear.
That's right.
And I know you're going to tell me something about it. And he says, how many are my iniquities and sins? As Job saying, how many do I have? I got a lot.
Sounds like David.
And he says, make me know them. Yeah. Make me know my transgressions and my sin. Wherefore, hidest thou my faith, and holdest me from thy enemy? But he goes on down, but he says, make me know. There's no greater place for a person to be than to know. Really know. And I don't know, it just grabbed hold of me this morning and really spoke to me about my own life and to the testimony, the witness of who he truly is in my life all the time.
Amen. Uh-oh, we got church bells ringing.
Amen.
Right in time for the heartbreak.
We are getting ready to take a quick break here. We're going to read our trivia question of the morning, and then we're going to come back in here and get right back into some great discussions. And so let's see here. Tuesday question number one, sponsored by Higdon Land Surveying. How did the Lord describe the people who built and worshiped the golden calf? How did the Lord describe the people who built and worshiped the golden calf? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on this beautiful, beautiful January 6th, 2026. We're going to have a great day of weather. High of 61, a low of 39, partly cloudy. Don't forget our memory verse of the week, number 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance unto you and give you peace. Quote of the day is from Tim Keller. The only person who dares to wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is a child.
we have that kind of access. Amen. Amen. I love that. Amen. All right. Well, we are continuing forth. Don't have an answer yet for that trivia question. How did the Lord describe the people who built and worshiped the golden calf? The people that built and worshiped the golden calf. 270-257-2689. Now back for more of the discussion, Miss Karen and Miss Crystal.
All right. Well, we are back. And Miss Karen started us out with Job 13, and it was verse 19. And it says, who is there who will... Well, let me get... I'll keep switching from ESV to King James. Anyway, so King James Version says, who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. And Miss Karen was kind of explaining to us what she felt like the Lord was saying in that is... we need to be grateful. We need to be thankful. Mm-hmm. If we hold our tongue from giving God praise and exalting him, then we could surely die is what it says. It says we could die. And I have a little devotional, and so I can't take any credit for it, but we can talk about it. And we went to Psalms 42, and we were just reading where it says, why are you cast down on my soul? David was discouraged at this point in Psalms 42. But the very last verse, he keeps saying it all through the scripture, hope thou in God. I'm sorry, I can't read King James very well. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And we were discussing the fact that David was supposed to be king. He was anointed as the future king of Israel by Samuel. And in a moment, you know, where there was supposed to be hope and promise and blessing and leadership, he received a death sentence from Saul. Saul was so jealous. Mm-hmm. He decided, no, we're going to kill this guy, this kid. And, you know, he chased him all over the place, the deserts and wilderness. And he just pretty much forced David to survive. David was, like I said, in caves, they had to hide out. But David knew from past experiences, his past experiences where he defeated Goliath, his past experience where he was out tending sheep and killed lions, and you know, even the experience of being anointed by Samuel. He knew that God was faithful because he was not worthy, but he was accepted as the one. And so in all of David's loneliness and disappointment and discouragement, you know, he remembered in that scripture where he says, I remember as I pour out my soul how I used to worship in the house of God. And I would shout and sing songs of praise, and we would have festivals. You know, it's pretty much what he's saying in Psalms 42, verse 4. And, you know, he missed safety. He missed protection. I mean, he was in his father's home, or he was, you know, wherever he was, and God always protected him. Well, now he's found his place. Himself in a different place. And he says in Psalms 42:6, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you. Mm-hmm. And we can take that right back to Job 13, verse 19, mm-hmm. where he says, if I keep silent in this moment, God, I'm going to die.
And you know, verse 11 that you read there in Psalms 42, it says, why art thou cast down on my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Mm-hmm. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health
Amen.
Of my countenance.
Wow, that's good.
And my God.
Yeah.
He is the very health. His word, and you using that word to speak it into your life, into the life of others, is health.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's real good. Yeah, of your countenance, which is just like we said in Numbers, you know, may the Lord lift up your countenance and bring you peace.
Right.
Well, the health of your countenance is everything. Your circumstances are not. They're always going to be. But we have to remember that we don't go by how we feel or what we see. We go by the Word of God.
Right.
And we go by what our past experience is sometimes. Remember His faithfulness is pretty much... and. Continue to thank him for the whole thing.
Right.
And don't keep silent.
Yeah, I came through this period of time, you know, and it reminds me every time Hannah would say, I'm still full of gratitude. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember thinking not very long ago, you know, how many times the Lord talks about us being thankful.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's a real important to him to be thankful to him. But I think being thankful is the place where we remember how faithful mm-hmm. he is. It reminds Amen. Us of that because we're thankful. But, you know, again, it's so much than just, it's not just about our times of trouble. He says it's the health of our countenance. That's what other people see. You know, it makes me think about that scripture over there in the New Testament. Can't tell you where it is, but he's talking about being in trouble. You know, wash your face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Put on clean clothes.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and I can tell you, and you can tell me too, is that when you have sought the Lord, something changed.
That's right. It's a shift. The word thankful appears in the King James Version, but related words like, okay, so the word thankful appears just a few times, mm-hmm. but the word thanks, thanking, thanksgiving is over 150 times right. in the Bible. Right. So God was saying something right. in that.
Gratitude is
yeah,
in there.
That's
all
part
of
it.
Things,
that's right.
You know,
for the health of your countenance. Right. That is so good that you brought mm-hmm. me back to that version. Because when we're in those times where David's saying, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Those times the devil's going to start whispering to you. Well, mm-hmm. because God's not there. Why? Because your situation is hopeless.
Right.
Why? Because your
right.
joy is gone and things won't change. But we begin to answer those challenges with the truth of God's word that says, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my
right.
God.
Right.
I don't go by my look. I don't look at my circumstances. I don't look at my checkbook. I don't look at my children. Let me give a testimony too. My daughter, who y'all have prayed with me, is doing so well. Now, she is not all the way there, but God brought her out of a very bad situation, and she's been going to church the last couple weeks. So I just want to give God praise for that. He's going to continue to do the work. He's going to continue to fulfill everything in her life that God has promised me in his word. But I wanted to give testimony in that as our prayers, because it looks so bad before.
Right,
it was a
right.
very dangerous situation, a very devastating for me to hear as a mother, the things that were happening. But I kept standing on the word, and I had prayer warriors like Miss Karen and Pastor Aaron and Jeannie and different ones all over different states that I know people that were agreeing with me and praying with me. And she called one day and said she was getting out of the situation. So I'm so grateful.
That's right.
I'm so thankful right. for God, and he's doing a work. And like I said, she's went to church and is making steps. She's not there all the way, but she is focused now mm-hmm. more on mm-hmm. getting herself better.
That's right.
And
see,
the health of her countenance.
That's
the
good.
Health of her countenance. But anyway, so this devotion says David answered these challenges with the truth of Psalms 103. Let's go to Psalms 103.
And you know, that's the thing too. I mean, you know, again, it was a word I had to have for myself this morning. You know, I had to listen to some things as that, you know, there's a lot of things that pretend to be the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
medicine and, you know, company mm-hmm. and relationships and all, but in every scenario in your life, there is only one true answer.
That's right. That's right.
And he's saying, don't hold your tongue toward mm-hmm. me.
That's right. Thank me. Thank me. And that, and I had to do that many times. I'd have to just run to the word.
Right.
I'd hear a devastating thing. Someone would call me and I'm 12 hours away. Well, not really that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
11 and a half, 12 hours away. And you hear bad things. And you hear, you know, bad confessions. And you have to just run to God. And
right.
God, you said, and I would just give him praise.
Right.
Give him praise. And I'm still doing it because, like I said, there have steps been made, and it's a good way that she's moving right now. But I think there's much more that God
right.
wants to do. So I'm going
right.
to continue. I'm not going to hold my tongue,
right.
as the Job says. I'm going to keep praising him, and I'm going to remember him. Because and give his praise
right.
again, so that the health of my countenance
exactly
will be okay, and I can be at peace.
And that's who we were supposed to be. We were, you know, he says of us, we are in it, but not of it.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so that means there's a difference between the way we walk through this place
mm-hmm.
than other people. But can people tell that by my countenance?
That's right.
Most of the time, probably not.
Yeah. Depends on the day.
Yeah,
and it shouldn't be that way. David, exactly. But I mean, David had the questions of God's left me, my situation right. is hopeless, joy is gone, you know. But he said, "But I'm going to go back to what God said, and I'm right. going to hope in God again."
Yeah, I bet somewhere in that, wherever David was in the Psalms, I bet that place right there that he's talking about. I can almost guarantee you that there, especially toward the end of that Psalm. There's a place where David said, "But as for me, I will bless
yes.
the Lord."
Oh, yeah.
You know, he mm-hmm. took his trouble. But see, it's almost like what we were saying is that as he spoke, you know, "My enemies are after me, God. You mm-hmm. know, you're going to have to do something. Oh, I'm
right.
you hid your face from me." After he said all of that to the Lord,
yeah,
"I'm going to bless the Lord." Something changed.
That's right. Well, let's read Psalms 103. That's right. exactly what it mm-hmm. says. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." So here's David. He's just encouraging himself right. in the Lord, and he's also giving thanks to God. He's praising God. He's not holding his tongue. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, mm-hmm. who forgives all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases."
See, here
thank him right in the sickness. Mm-hmm. Thank him in the bad reports, mm-hmm. you know. We've all been through something in our health and our bodies. Hopefully everybody's coming out in Jesus' name. But some of us have walked through things, and you just praise him all the way through it. That's all you can do is, "God, you said in your word, by your stripes I'm healed. And so I bless you. Right. I thank you that you healeth all disease, who redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth my mouth yes. with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles."
See, I mean, there's something about this thing about, you know, your tongue.
That's right.
Which thy mouth with good things.
That's right.
So you speak correctly.
Mm-hmm. Don't hold your tongue. Mm-hmm. Don't hold your tongue. "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." And we can just go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. Look at verse 17, though. "For the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting mm-hmm. to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children."
It's a generational
it is.
Thing.
Yeah.
You know, it
speaking,
keeps on,
yes. Yes. Yeah, speaking just, life over it.
And it's so. Look at verse 18. "To such as keep his covenant." Mm. See, that's what part of this is. "And to those who remember his commandments to do them."
Right.
"The Lord hath prepared his throne in heaven, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, yet ye his angels, and excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word."
Right.
See, there's much to be said about not just the speaking of it. Now we're moving into those that hearken, that hear
right.
and obey what he says.
Right.
So it's moving to a place where, again, it's all of who you are.
That's right. Remembering his faithfulness, mm-hmm. remembering even the past of what he's done, and
right.
thanking him. David had to remember. He said, "I remember when I praised the Lord. I remember mm-hmm. when God delivered us from the Goliath. I remember when God helped me kill that lion. I remember when he delivered me from Saul," you know. And, you know, so when we think of God's hand and we look back and we remember and we recall all the things God does, you know, that brings us such encouragement. That brings us to a place of thankfulness. God, right. I remember right. when I got the report, when the doctor called me and said, "There's no more cancer. You're cancer free."
Right.
"Thank you, Jesus." Mm-hmm. And I just remember that. I remember when the Lord delivered my son.
Right.
Now I'm watching my daughter be delivered in a process.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And so we ask questions. Here goes, well, let's go back to the devotional. It says, "Think back on this. Where did God come through when you had no solution?"
Mm-hmm.
So right now, let's just all begin to think, when was it that God came through? Do you remember those times? Sometimes all we can see is what's right in front of us, right in the moment, right in the circumstances, right how we feel. But do you remember previously when God brought you through when you had no solution?
Right.
When did he comfort you through another person? Did somebody come into your life? All of a sudden, this person shows up and helps you. What answered prayer still makes you smile today?
That's right.
That's the thankfulness. Uh-huh. Which past trial did you survive that once seemed impossible?
Uh-huh.
And joy, I love this saying right here. This is the devotional, not me. Joy returns when we remember our history with God. Because if he was faithful before, he is still faithful today. Mm-hmm. God does not change, and his promises remain the same for us as they did for the ancients. So let's look at Isaiah 41. Karen, you just jump in anytime. I'm going by this little devotional thing. Verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So here's going back to Karen's Job 13 and 19, where it says, I'm not going to hold back my tongue. I am going to praise God. I am going to worship God right in the middle of everything. I'm going to remember the past trials and how he brought me out. I'm going to remember the when he had a solution and I didn't. You know, I'm going to remember when he healed me. I'm going to remember when he restored me. I'm going to remember when he sent me a husband
right.
that I had prayed for 14 years. And one day on my Facebook, a message comes up, a friend request from Todd Taylor. I remember those times when I sat and said, God, you know, I'd finally laid it down and I said, Lord, if you want me to be married, you'll send me somebody because I'm done trying. And when we get to that place, you know, then God will show up. And so we got to remember those things, how God did it. Because he says, don't fear. I'm going to take care of you.
You know, go on and read verse 11 and on down through there.
Go ahead.
You go ahead. Well,
behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. I know that Isaiah 49:25 almost says the same thing.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. The worst of the worst can be delivered with God. For I will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save your children. So we're not just talking about children, but circumstances.
You're talking about generational kind of things. And the thing of, you know, the thing that gets me here is that, you know, he goes to such extreme about what he's willing to do. But I think for me, you know, and probably I know for other people, we forget those things. We think we're going to figure this out on our own. I've tried it and tried it and tried it and probably will do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, I found out I'm not the one that has
the
answer.
That's right.
You know, you've got to hang with the Lord. He talks here about those who are his servants, those who are his believers, those who are obedient to his word, those who pursue and seek, those who are in him.
That's right.
We've got to remember, but not just remember anymore. We've got to act upon the fact
Amen.
Of who we are in him.
And that means you get up, you wash your face, you get dressed, you do what you need to do. You don't stay in that depression. You don't stay in anxiety. You don't stay in the overwhelming news that you have heard. Because the Lord says in Isaiah 41, right where we were, but I didn't go down far enough, verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. So the Lord has a plan. Right. The Lord's got an answer in every situation. His presence has not left. His love has not faded. His plans have not failed. God is going to do what he says he's going to do.
And let's go back to that place here for a minute where we started, where Job said, I will hold not my tongue.
Mm.
You know, that's not just in your bad day.
That's right.
Because that healing thing of the Lord is not, you know, it's the same as him. It was, it is, and it is to come.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
You know, it's an everlasting mm-hmm. thing. It has always been, it still is, and it always will be.
That's right.
We've got to remember that about the Lord. How many times I can't tell you that I've come to teach a Sunday school class with one time I came and I couldn't even speak very loud. Mm-hmm. But as I talked of him,
mm-hmm. remembered,
my voice came back. When mm-hmm. I held not my tongue, mm-hmm. regardless of my circumstance.
That's right.
Then my voice came back. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't have mattered if it did or not.
That's
because
right.
I was still speaking of him. Healing was coming.
That's right.
And see, I think that you know, it is about your hard day. It is about your tough moment. It is, but it's also about those good days. Mm-hmm. Declare him. I think we need to come to a place of we are here to declare him.
Amen.
To speak of him. The one and only who is worthy of praise, the utmost, the highest. And it's about not holding your tongue for any reason, but also counting on the fact that he will answer mm-hmm. you, that he will give you. He said that he's going to give you what to say. Don't worry about it.
That's right.
But it's that place of just leaning back and relying upon he who said.
That's right. And it's for the health of your countenance, because you'll drive yourself.
Right.
I mean, anxiety means you go around and around in a circle till you go insane.
Right.
Is really what it is. And how many times have a situation happened, and the video plays, and you can't stop it, and you can't stop thinking about it, and you make bad decisions in that. But it says, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance mm-hmm. and my God."
Right. You know, over there in verse Isaiah 41 in verse 8, it says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, who have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." Verse 9 says, "Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. Mm. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen ye, I will help ye, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And see, again, we forget that. Mm-hmm. And we trust in something else.
Yeah, right.
Instead of just going on our way and doing what the Lord has called us to do, we forget that he said he would be this.
Amen.
And it causes us to be silent. There's a thing about silence. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know that there's an appropriate time for silence.
Right.
But there's an appropriate time for you to speak who he is in
declare
your life.
It. That's right. Declare
it. And the thing is that, I mean, I get closer every day to understanding that I really don't have an excuse because of what he said.
Mm-hmm. That's right. He tells us what to do. You know, we love the Lord. We love to worship the Lord. We love to be in church. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to day to day, God has given us instruction in his word of mm-hmm. how to stay out of depression, how to stay out of anxiety, how to stay out of worry or whatever is going on. And when those circumstances come, because the Bible says they're going to come.
Right.
You know, God would love, you know, there's going to be troubles on the earth is what Jesus said. But I've come to give you peace in the middle of those troubles, if you'll hold not your tongue and remember what I've told you,
right.
So that you will have health in your countenance. I just love that.
I know.
Health of my countenance. That means I'm going to be at peace. That means I'm going to have joy.
And people will see it.
Right, right.
It's not just you that know it.
Yeah.
People will see it.
That's right.
It is itself a declaration. Mm-hmm. It is this place where you have sought the Lord and its health, it held not your tongue toward him.
That's right.
See, we can't speak of him to you correctly mm-hmm. without having spoken to him before.
That's right. Remembering his faithfulness, remembering mm-hmm. everything he has done in mm-hmm. our lives and giving him praise. Let's start this new year out. New year out. That's right. I said it right the first time. Mm-hmm. This new year out with giving God praise, not holding our tongue this year. No matter what we walk through, let joy rise again.
Mm-hmm.
one memory at a time, one memory of God. I remember when you did that. I remember when I was a young girl and we took a picture and the angel showed up, and then when we received the portrait, he wasn't there. I remember that you sent somebody to take care of us. Mm-hmm. That's why you mentioned it. You know, we were talking about angels. You mentioned it because you remembered his faithfulness.
Right.
You remembered circumstances that it looked like you did not have an answer to the solution. It looked like there was not a medication or a cure to the disease or the sickness or the problem that you're walking through. But God wants us to remember today. Every situation, every time he has healed us, we give him praise. Every time, and remember them and just say, God, I thank you. I thank you that you brought me out of devastating situations and walked me through one day at a time. And I remember one memory of your goodness every day. I remember one goodness, you know, mm-hmm. one answered prayer every day. If we'd get up and just not hold our tongue and say, God, I thank you. I thank you that I'm healthy today. I thank you. I mean, honestly, I'm thankful I got hair.
Right.
I know it's silly, but you go without hair for a year and you'll be thankful that when it, no matter what it looks right. like, you're thankful that it came back.
And you know, I think too that one of the things that I've realized with myself is that I get so beat up with talking about stuff that's wrong with me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
You know, but if the Lord is the one who's going, that I'm going to speak to first, and he is the health of my countenance, those things are not going to be my conversation anymore.
That's right.
What is going to be my conversation is who he is, how faithful he is, what he is able to do. Let me tell you the good news.
That's right. That's right.
Let me tell you, it might be that there are points in my life that will be used as just points of reference, but it won't be about that.
That's right.
It'll be about what the Lord has done, what the Lord wants to do, what the Lord is going to do because of what he said he
That's
would
right.
do. You know, he did it because he said he would. He is doing it because he said he would. He will do it because
That's right.
he said he would.
It's in his word, and
exactly.
he has to honor it. He said, I'm watching over my word to perform it. My word will not return void to me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Well, mm-hmm. he makes a way where there ain't no mm-hmm. way. Rises
right.
up
right.
from an empty grave. Right?
Right?
I mean, so we proclaim those things to the earth. We proclaim those things to the people we are surrounded
you
with.
You know, I remember is there a time?
Are we past time, Pastor Aaron? Do we just okay?
I remember, you know, another time in my life, and you know, one of the things that the Lord said to me was, "It's going to be different for you this time because you're with me."
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you know, I always love to talk about how the Lord was with me. A lot of us like to talk about how the Lord is with us.
That's right.
But see, his word, for some reason, also includes the point, if we look closely, we'll see that place where he said, are you with me? it's not just about God being with us. He is. But are you with him?
That's right.
Are you walk according to his word? Are you pursuing him like he said he wanted you to? Are you using his word and his promises to be what he always intended for them to be? Not just intended, but said they would be.
Mm-hmm.
It is a wonderful, marvelous thing for God to be with us. But there is a place for you here. And that is that place where you are with him.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a different place.
Yeah, let me say this. Because I've had a couple people call in, so I need to get this out. Todd Taylor did get the answer right for that trivia question.
Oh, yeah.
Some translations say stubborn. Some say stiff-necked people. It's Exodus 32:9. The second trivia question today, if y'all want to call in and try to get this one, according to 2 Corinthians, how many occasions had Paul been beaten with stripes by the Jews? According to 2 Corinthians, on how many occasions had Paul been beaten with stripes by the Jews? Now, forgive me if you all have said this scripture. I've been kind of in and out a little bit, taking care of stuff this morning. But y'all talking about Thanksgiving. And I know that Thanksgiving, I do believe, also unlocks miracles and power and glory in our life. Mm-hmm. And I'm always reminded of Jesus when he's getting ready to bring Lazarus out of the grave.
Yes.
He just says in verse 41 of chapter 11, Father, I thank you. And I thank you that you have heard me. Mm-hmm. Like before he even said a word, right. he said, you've already heard me.
Right.
Like you've already, right. I thank you that you've already heard me. And I know that in my life, I have given God thanks for things that have yet to happen. And
exactly.
Lazarus had not come out of the grave yet. Yet though Jesus was already given thanks for it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I've not even called Lazarus
That's
out.
Right. Yeah.
He just said, take away the stone. Lazarus has not actually come out yet. If I'm not, let's see here. I'm making sure I'm right in the story. He has not said Lazarus come out yet. Yeah,
no, he has, and
I just wanted to make sure he's had him roll the stone away.
Right. Yeah.
But before Lazarus ever gets a foot off of that tomb, he says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. What gratitude, what thanksgiving.
It goes back, makes me, when you're talking about that, what does he say when he gets ready to feed the 5,000?
Oh, yeah. He gave thanks and break bread.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Over the five fishes and five loaves.
We're thanking God after the fact.
Right.
Jesus was thanking God before the fact because he had such faith that whatever I'm about to ask, I know you're about to do because I'm with you and I'm in your will. And so I love this conversation.
I love the Psalms 42. I'm going to be saying that all day long. Psalms 42:11. Why art thou cast down on my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And when we look up countenance, it means a person's face, expression or demeanor, reflecting inner character, emotions like anger or joy, and spiritual condition. Often translating Hebrew words for face or appearance and signifying God's favor means lifting up his countenance or displeasure. It's used to show someone's state, like Cain's countenance fell in anger, or the blessings of God's face to shine upon you for favor and peace. So the health of your face, the health of your expression, the health of your inner character, your emotions, that's where anxiety, fear, worry, the health of that is peace whenever we give it to God and say, I praise him. The health of my countenance today is going to be that I praise you, God, and I thank you, God. And it goes on and on. We could sit here another 2 hours and just find scripture.
Can I speak into that a little bit? So, hey, everybody, again. But I think even sometimes, like, the big things can really shake our faith and cause us to, like, give up our joy or our countenance to be different. But I also think a lot of times it's the day-to-day trivial things.
Exactly.
Like, it's amazing how much we let the day-to-day little everyday life things steal our joy or cause our countenance to be gone, and then before we know it, we're so caught up in the going that we're not being a witness to other people and showing God's light. Mm-hmm. And I just have a little story about that. So I was in the grocery store the other day with my niece. It was just me and her. I had the baby with somebody else outside. And my coffee had been spilling out behind me, and I didn't know it. I had a to-go coffee, and it was just making a trail behind me in the whole store. And I didn't know it. And then she said, Hannah, your coffee's spilling out. I was like, oh, no. So I was like, I was so embarrassed, and I was upset, and I felt so bad. And finally, they got it cleaned up and everything. But I guess my countenance was not what it should have been, because we were walking around the rest of the store, and she just looked at me and said, Hannah, you're supposed to be happy.
Oh.
She said, we're supposed to be happy. And I mean, the Lord just got me right there speaking through her. Like, my countenance should not change because I'm embarrassed, because I'm ashamed, or I feel bad, or I'm, you know, just stressed, or whatever it may be. And it just spoke to me that, you know, if it's something a lot more severe than spilling your milk or spilling your coffee, or if it's something little, like you're just, you messed up or you're stressed, like we can still not withhold our praise from the Lord because it's by him we have access to the throne of grace.
That's
it's
right.
because of his blood that we overcome and that we are able to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and with praise. And so that spoke into that for me. But I love it because before I left and you were talking about Psalms 42, I love how he speaks to his own soul.
That's right.
Yes. He commanded and took authority over his own self. Mm-hmm. Like, how much are we trying to rebuke and take authority over demons and principalities, but then we let our own flesh just have its way
right.
so much, and we wonder why.
The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. So
We get it backwards.
Yeah. Yes.
We got it backwards. We got the most, I'm not making light of that, but we've got the least of the two, the first.
Yeah. Right.
We underestimate the power, you know.
Of our flesh.
There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end thereof is death.
That's right.
You know, the wages of sin is death. We underestimate the power of sin. And when we start to look into the mirror and command ourselves,
like
he did, like, why are you troubled? Like, why are you, you know, I'm not wording it exactly the same, but commanding your soul to praise the Lord.
That's right.
Well, the way Karen read the scripture Karen brought, who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. That means you're going to spiritually
die
and maybe even naturally if you confess bad things over yourself. Right. You have to thank him and praise him and do not hold your tongue. And we read all those things about remember what God did in the past. That's how David encouraged himself. He said, I remember when I praised. I remember when, you know, you delivered me from Goliath, you know, all those things. So we have to not hold our tongue.
Right.
And if we hold our tongue, we know who's not going to hold. The enemy is going to continue to speak lies.
That's right.
And earlier I was reminded of, you know, to take every thought captive.
Right.
Not every thought needs to come out of our mouth.
That's right.
But what does need to come out of our mouth is what it's saying there. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Praise. Scripture.
Right.
Let's speak scripture over ourselves. Let's not just speak all of the things that come to our mind that we haven't yet taken captive and the things that try to exalt itself against Christ, like we talked about earlier, pull those things down.
We know that words matter to God.
Oh, yeah.
He's big on words, or is he not?
Yes, he is.
His son, who is the Word, God's big on words.
Mm-hmm. By our words will be justified and by our words will be condemned.
And you know, the thing of it is that too, you know, as we do these things, this is the thing that the Lord, just like he does everything, he puts things in place not just so we can have a good life. He puts things in our life so we can find that place in him and only in him where we can walk according.
Yeah.
But you know, it is the health of our countenance which comes from these places that other people see. And, you know, if you walk into a room sometimes with a great big smile on your face, people are going to go, what's she up to?
That's right. That's right.
You know, there's going to that place, that presence, that look, that atmosphere, whatever you want to call it, on you causes people to wonder.
Yeah.
See, we make a whole lot about witnessing, and we make a whole lot about how hard it is. Oh, man, it's hard. It's hard to witness. It's hard to testify. You know, but if we, according to his word, get in there and his word and his way becomes the health of our countenance, that will draw
people. Yeah.
People. Mm-hmm. What's going on with her? What's that?
Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words were found and I ate them.
Mm-hmm.
And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. And I love that because that's how I can bring joy to others.
That's
how I can, because I'm devouring his word, and it does become the health of my countenance, because that's what brings me peace. That's what brings me joy. That's what makes me want to share with others and say, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you what that he's, you know, he makes a way, you know, and that's when others, you know, the doctor yesterday that I went, he said, you had so-and-so type of, and he's like, wow, that's pretty rough stuff. You know, he said, hey, that's amazing you made it through that. And I was like, and for me, it was like, I never doubted, not anything I did now, because what God did. And so I told him, I said, well, I prayed a lot, and God brought me through. Mm-hmm. And he just turned around and kept doing his work. But that's okay. I let him know it was not me. It was God. Why? Because I ate his words, and he loved me enough to heal me, and I proclaimed his word, and I did not hold back my tongue. I confessed scriptures every day. And when I keep saying I, what I mean is the Lord told me to, the Lord right. instructed me to, yeah. and I wanted to. I wanted to proclaim his word and be a testimony of what God can do.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jeremiah, he's the one that wrote in there, I know the plans I have for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he wrote all of that. And the thing of it is that all the things that we've talked about, everything that the Bible talks about, all those do's and don'ts and cans and won'ts and all of that stuff, that's God's plan for you.
That's mm-hmm. right.
It is about great and mighty things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes when my mind gets changed to court back to the according to the word of God, that's a great and marvelous
thing. That's right.
Thing.
It is. Mm-hmm.
You know, but all of these things, in verse 4 of Jeremiah something, it says, then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, that's God's plan for you right
that's
there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and everything that he talks about here, that's his plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of his plan for you mm-hmm. because, again, this one that is present in your life right now, it's required for the next move of God in your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You have to come to a place in him because where he's taking you next requires the one you're sitting at right here and right now in your life. Be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
Be thankful.
Amen.
To the Lord. Don't hold your tongue to him.
That's right.
What I love is seeing the shift in some of the Psalms. Like, mm-hmm. he starts off in dark and gloomy and sad, and then he commands his soul to line up with the word and what he knows to be true about the Lord, and then you see a complete turnaround. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see him in one whole chapter go from one way to another way, and that is true. Like, today is the day.
That's right.
It doesn't have to take so many days. Like, the Lord can shift our countenance in a moment if we'll let him. And, you know, he's just good. Like, I think he can do that for any of us, but I think it's easy to see sometimes, more clear sometimes with people who are, like, in, like, addiction or just deep, dark depression. But it's anybody that's walking in the joy of the Lord, it is such a testimony.
Right.
Whether you've been in addiction with drugs, whether you've been in just a deep, dark depression, whether you've been in isolation, you've just not been yourself, you've not been like David, like you were worshiping the Lord and going,
I remember when
you were deep in the presence of the Lord and you've just been stagnant. Like wherever you fall in that spectrum, everybody can experience the joy of the Lord and that lifting of the countenance.
Right.
And, you know, earlier you were talking about the countenance, what it means. And when it's in our memory verse, when it says, and lift his countenance upon you, it made me think about smiling.
Right.
Because your countenance is your face.
That's right.
And if your face is lifted, what happens when your face lifts?
Yeah.
A facelift. Right. What happens? You're smiling.
How did your niece know that your countenance had changed?
Yeah, she wasn't smiling.
Yeah, she knew something was different with her by looking at your face. I could do that with Todd. He'll walk in, I'll say, what's wrong? He'll go, what do you mean?
That's right.
Your countenance is not right. He'll say, you know. But Psalms 4 says, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us, that thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for thou, O Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. But again, it was saying, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. You know, that's why number 6 goes so well with it.
Right.
You know,
right.
Lift up your countenance upon us, God. Yeah. We can't do it in ourselves. You know, we are human and things are going to come against us. And that doesn't give us an excuse or an out. If you're a Christian, you have answers.
Yeah.
So, you know, the other day we had open book test. You know, so, you know, you had the answers right there. So just look them up and write down your test. You know, and that's what God did. He gives us open book tests every day. Sometimes we fail.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't. Why would we fail? Because we did not go look at the book. Uh-huh. You know, we did not look at the answers.
We got lazy.
You look at Psalms 119. I mean, of course, you know, we're not going to read it this morning. We've only got a few minutes left. But the thing of it is all the way through that, what's David saying? Teach me your statutes.
Yeah.
Teach me teach me about what you've got to say about a thing. And see, again, that was God's plan for us.
Right.
That's part of God's plan for us. And, you know, it is all leading to a place where you are a disciple, you who are a servant of the Lord, a disciple is being put in a place to not just be a disciple, but to be one who is followed as you follow the Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is from the beginning to the end of of your life. It is that place where He calls you, and that place where you submit and you surrender and you obey and you remember and you think and you do all of these things, and then as you go, all the things about you change.
That's right.
Now, I'm not being Pollyanny here, because this is tough stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the way of the Lord is weighty.
Yeah.
It's a weighty
thing. It's easier
thing.
To just sit in your room and be depressed. Right. It really is. Todd's reminded me, he said that, again, it's going to be a generational thing for Hannah and possibly Pastor Aaron, but there was a show years ago called Hee Haw. Y'all familiar with that? No.
I've heard y'all talk about it.
Okay. Well, I've heard you talk about it. Todd just said it. And one of the lines, these two guys would get up there with the gloomiest faces. And they were country farmers, and they would get up there, gloom, despair, agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony. And they would sing this song, and people thought it was the funniest thing. They would laugh because they'd go, oh. You know, it was just the way they'd say, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Oh, you know, and they would just make it so depressing. But people would laugh. But how many of us wake up that way sometimes and we're in excessive misery? And we had an open book test today. Here are the answers for you.
Right.
Go look up Job 13, verse 19. Go look up Psalms 42, and I think it was 10. Is that where we started? I don't remember. Or just Psalms 40. The whole book is good. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions. Read number 6. Lord, lift up your countenance upon us. Look up Psalms 4. Who will show us any good, God? So that's excessive misery. Mm-hmm. Who will show us any good? Whoa. Lord, lift thou up thy light of thy countenance upon us. And then what was that? How did it go in Psalms 42? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Mm-hmm. So today we encourage you. We pray that you are encouraged by the word of God. Not just what we said, not by Hee Haw, but by what we are saying by the word of God, that your countenance, don't hold back your tongue. Just wake up today and begin to praise him, thank him every day. Remember all the victories.
Right.
Remember today, go think in your memory bank of one thing that the Lord has done for you. I can tell you the Lord delivered my son. I can tell you the Lord delivered me in sickness and disease. The Lord recovered everything when I went through divorce, bankruptcy, everything that I went through, God restored and gave me a wonderful husband today. And so I can just begin to thank him that I'm healthy. I wake up every day and just begin to glorify him. Why? And change my countenance. I'm not staying in excessive misery. I probably have situations maybe I could look at and find some misery. Thank God my life is kind of balanced right now. Thank God. But Jesus said things will come. Things have come, and we face them with the word of God.
Right.
We face them with the joy of the Lord. We've faced them with thankfulness, not holding back our tongue, because what does it say is going to happen? You will give up the ghost.
Yes.
You will die. You shall give up and die. And so we don't want that for you today. We hope we have encouraged you. We pray. Karen, do you want to pray for him right now?
I want to say something too. You know, people, we walk around, we want to know what the Lord has for us, what's God's plan for my life.
Right.
Well, again, here we are. This is part of it. In his word, you will find his plan for your life.
That's right.
All of it.
That's right.
all of it, the most important part, it might not give you a title in here of what his plan for your life is. It might not be, he's might not say to you in this word, I want you to be this. Mm-hmm. But this is the most important part of whole plan.
That's right.
Is what he says in his word. This is his plan for you to stand in awe of him and to sin not. I'm reading out of Psalms again. It says here, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. That's
Amen.
His plan for your life.
Amen.
Because these whether you this is the right word for these things or not, these are foundational stones. These are the stones that he's putting in your life for you to stand on.
Amen.
These are the stones and the rocks that he puts in your life that shall not be moved.
Amen.
Regardless of what the world puts in front mm-hmm. of you, these are the things that are required. Mm. If you'll be faithful in these. These are those things. If you'll be faithful in what he said in his word, he'll give you more.
That's right. Mm.
But these are required.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They're required for the individual. They're required for the church. They're required for anything that has his name on it. Anything you want him to put your hand on, you want him to put his hand on, these are required.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to come to a place of understanding that we're not just floating through this world with the Lord.
That's right.
There are things, great things, marvelous things that are here for us.
Amen.
Amen.
And they're required, but they're also needed. Someone out there needs you to get this. So hold Amen. Not your tongue. And Lord, we just pray today that this word that you've put in front of us, because we came in here with nothing. We didn't know. And you put it in front of us, Lord. And we just thank you for it. I pray, Lord, that ears have been opened. I pray, Lord, that tongues have been loosened. I pray, Lord, that eyes begin to seek in your word, your plan for their life. And Lord, you have said in it that you would uphold them in it. And we believe you. We trust you, Lord. Make us understand. Draw us by your Spirit, Lord, into a deeper place with you according to your word. Let us begin to speak, if only to begin within our own house, in our own life, the marvelous things that you have for us. We give you the honor and the praise of it all. For you and you alone are worthy. We glorify your name above all things. For it is the only one that can hold that place. We praise you, Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Hope in God.
Hallelujah. What a great morning, great discussion. Love it. And Miss Crystal, one more time, tell them that scriptures, that's our homework.
Which one?
I'm just kidding. Really?
Psalms 42. Read the whole chapter, but the one that we talked about the most was Psalms 42:11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So you got two chapters for homework today.
And then one more time, can you read that verse, Miss Job?
In Job, I've closed my thing. But it's in Job.
But it's to
13.
Not withhold your
Job
tone.
Job 13 and 19 says, who is he that plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. So we got Psalm 42, go home and read today, and Matthew 13, go read that. So both of those scriptures are rich. And excited for all that the Lord has in store for you today as you trust him, walk faithfully before him, ask him to put people in your path today that need the gospel, mm-hmm. that need encouragement, that need healing, that need love, that need the brother and sisterhood of the body of Christ. Ask him, and he will do it, surely.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. He will. Amen. Well, if you need prayer for anything, don't be afraid to text us or call us. We'd love to connect with you in prayer. And so, final words, departing words. Hannah, don't
praise ye the Lord, hallelujah.
Hannah, don't let me say departing words or final words. It has to be departing words. So she says final words sounds too mortalistic or something. Fatalistic here. We're all going to perish.
Final words until next time. There we go. From glory to glory. Let's receive it. Let's not let it fall on stony ground or get choked out, but let's receive it. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.